Are you ready? Okay, just checking. You here? You know why you're here? You focused? Listen this morning. Thank you, Pastor. We got to get focused on the things of God. If not, we will miss the things of God.
That's right.
Amen. Well, I am glad to hear some amens this morning out there. Because listen, God is faithful if we allow Him to participate in our lives. Where's Zach at? Did I have Zach here a while ago? Did I lose him? I lost him.
I think he's helping
us out. Oh, he's helping that. Wow. All right. Well, listen, Aaron, lucky you this morning. Yeah, that'd be you over there. All right. Sorry, Zach, I got Aaron now. I was counting on you, and I just missed out on you. Aaron, I need you to come here for a second, would you? The funny thing about this is that it's transferable. It's not just for Zach. So, now listen, I may be reaching back here a little bit, but have you ever played this little game, and it's, I don't know the actual title of the game. Maybe you can help me out here. So it's like this cold, warm, hot thing.
Sure, yeah.
So you're kind of looking around for something, I say cold, whatever, until you find it, and then it's like hot, right? Okay. We're going to play that. Can we do that?
Yeah, sure.
All right, so the stage is the stage, all right, for you, all right? So I'm going to get out of your way, though.
Okay.
So all I'm asking you to do here this morning is there's something that I have hidden on the stage that you might enjoy, all right? So here's what I want you to do. There's a lot of stuff here, so I just want you to kind of wander along the stage. I'm going to get out of your way.
Okay.
And I just want to kind of help you, though, so just kind of make your way around there and see if you can find what I have. So you're cold right now. You're extremely cold, okay? You're cold. You're getting warm. Warmer. Very warm. Hot. Oh, you're getting hotter right there. You're getting hot right there, okay? Oh, you're warm now. No, you're leaning towards cold. There we go. Hot. Cold. You're warm. Sorry. No. You're hot, though. Hot, blazing white hot. Wow. Not the stool. Very good. So was that hard to do? What are you going to... All right. We got duct tape in the office. We can make that work. Thank you, Aaron. Give Aaron a hand. Oh, too funny, Aaron. Too funny. Never send the man anything in an envelope. I tell you, that game is a game, right? I mean, Aaron was in a certain spot, and until he heard communication, he didn't know exactly where to go, right? And I had to inform him where he was going by giving him three words, right? Cold, warm, or hot. Got your Bibles this morning? Let's go to Ephesians. While you're doing that, I'm going to stretch back in here and grab a couple other items, if I may, this morning. Let's go to Ephesians 1. If you're not a part of the reading program that the church is doing, the initiative here, I strongly encourage you to do so. It's a money-back guarantee kind of a deal, so I don't think you're going to be disappointed. And I don't need that anymore or that. But here's what I want to title this morning. What we're calling here is what Paul's talking about is change. So I tell you what I love doing, I don't know about you, so if you've got kids or teenagers, you know, I here's what I love to do. I love to give them some money. And they bring change back. Isn't that the good change? So I gave Caleb and Abby some money to go get something to breakfast this morning. And I said, hey, you got that change? He gives me change back. I thought, great. He knew not to just go spend it all. That's good change. Well, this morning I want to talk about a little bit more about spiritual change. What it means for you and I to change. What does that look like? What's the progress with the process and progress that that looks like for us this morning? So in Ephesians, the whole book of Ephesians, right? We're wrapped up in Paul's epistles. And Paul's been speaking to us through Corinthians, 1st and 2nd. And he's really been kind of talking to us about the difficulties that he's had in the church and those struggles that he's had. And now we're going over into Ephesians. And now we're going to be wrapped up in another challenge that he's having. And it's a challenge between the Jews and the Gentile Christians. And so he's having to bring unity in the church. And so he's trying to overcome the challenges that they're having with the Jews becoming Christians and what the how they're focusing in traditions and all that they're doing, and also on the Gentile side who had no idea what the law was and the requirements and the processes and all the events that took place there. So now he's trying to bring them together and say, you know what? We're one. We're one. So in Ephesians chapter 1 this morning, Paul really begins sharing with the people of the time really what who God is and what Jesus Christ has done and the power that lies within through the experience of Jesus Christ. And so in verses 13 through 19 here this morning, give me just a second to pull these things out these days. So verses 13 through 19, I'll read it and you read it with me here this morning. In him you also, when you had heard the truth, the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, you were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people to praise and his glory. I have heard of your faith, Trinity Church, in the Lord Jesus, and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and, listen, revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. Paul is laying the foundation this morning. He is laying it all out. Listen, Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father. He has already conquered death. Oh, by the way, he has prepared a place for you and I. Paul is laying it down for you and I to understand in fullness what the expectations are. Okay, great. That's nice. You know, if you ever planned a trip, right? The trip planning is kind of a monotonous thing and kind of a struggle, but there's excitement in what you're looking forward to. But until you get there, it's just that. Paul is laying down the foundation in the first chapter here of what that we can expect through the power of the Holy Spirit and through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And as he travels through here, and we go to chapter 2 here this morning, and find out verses 1 through 11, that he reminds us where we came from before we were believers. He's reminding the people of the day, hey, listen, Gentiles. Hey, listen, you sinners. This is where you were before you acknowledged that Jesus Christ was Lord. See, we got to remind ourselves sometimes. Listen, anything that we're talking, the only miracle that happens that we are out of control of is salvation. Now, there's other little miracles that Christ does for us, right? Healing, etc., providing for this. But listen, let us not make a mistake this morning. And just once we receive Christ, we come back and sit in the pew and we go home and sit at home. We say, hey, if God ain't doing it, it ain't getting done. That's not, listen, we're going to travel through here. We're going to find out that God is calling you and I. We have to physically do something. If we are committed, we've got to do something. We've got to do and act and perform, not for people's sake, but for God's sake. So he simply says this morning, coming out of chapter 2, that salvation was first for those that were near, that is the Jews, second to the Gentiles. Right? Remember? Stephen tells the story before he's stoned. He said, hey, you know, guys, you had your chance. Salvation came to you. You denied it, rejected it. Okay, well, now it's a Gentile's opportunity. So what does Paul do? He's traveling over. God calls Paul to go to the Gentiles. Hey, we'll see if they want it. We got it. God is calling you and I to do something, and God is calling for us to bring into unity in the Spirit of God. He's calling the Gentiles and the Jews to come together. Listen, quit being divided on these issues that are the same in thought, the same in the results, but maybe a different way to get there. Listen, church, nothing is worse than allowing division to take place in the church. When we can come together in unity and unite on the front of Jesus Christ and His kingdom, pastor in his prayer, let your kingdom come, amen? As it already is in heaven, let it be here on earth. That's the Lord's prayer. He didn't make it up. It's in Scripture. God wants that to be. And if God wants that to be, it's up to you and me. He wants to use us. He wants to build us up. But listen, we have to be on the front together. If my wife and I are always separated in thought and about how we're going to raise the kids, listen, it's open game for them. I go to mom for this, or I go to dad for that. I go to dad for this, I go to mom for that. They're not together. They're not on the same page. So opportunistic kids we have. Is it bad? No. Yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. Listen, unity at home, in the church, in the world in which we live in, is powerful. And boy, Paul is just going through, and as he travels through chapter 3, and he's more describing his role and what his purpose is. Paul's describing, hey, I've come that though I'm a Jew, and I'm well-educated, well-versed in all the traditions and what the expectations are and the law, I have come to the Gentiles because God has called me to come to the Gentiles. What has God called you to do, as Melissa brought up so eloquently this morning? What has God called you to do? You may not be the one to go to the Gentiles or go to another region in the world, but how about teaching 56ers? How about helping out in VBS? What has God called you to do? Listen, once again, Paul describes in the Ephesians here, to the Ephesians, that we are a body, right? The body of Christ. We got some arms, we got some legs, we got some feet, we got some tendons, we got some ligaments, and oh, by the way, we all got gray matter. Let's use it to build His kingdom. We are powerful when we allow the Spirit to move through us and to make a difference in the world in which we live in. And he's going through, I tell you what, I'm going to slow down here just a tad. Chapters 4, 5, and 6 are fantastic. And so Paul has laid down the foundation, right? Paul has communicated what his role is, and Paul has communicated how the body of Christ needs to come together. And in chapter 4, one is the message. One is the message. Spiritual gifts to equip the saints. Pastor talked about our church. We believe in reaching people, equipping people to reach people. We're equipping the saints to do the work and ministry of building His kingdom. Paul is emphasizing here in chapter 4 in verses 1 through 6. We'll read it. I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. You've all been called, okay, that's clear, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, ouch, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in all. Amen? One. You are one this morning. Without the people in the worship band, if there's someone's missing there, and there's a little bit of a different sound. But when you're one, it's beautiful. Great job this morning. What does that one look like? Listen, we have to be, as Paul continues on in chapter 4, he talks about how we got to remove the old self, the old things. We got to put the new things on, right? That means for you and I, there's activity going on. There's participation. Now, Zach, I will pick on you now. You ready for this? Listen, I need a microphone, Pastor. We got an extra one here. This is spur of the moment, okay? Now, Zach, you're a spontaneous kind of guy, right?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, super. We got him mic'd up? All right, this is 20 questions, Zach.
Okay.
What day did you get married?
August 8th.
August 8th. That's good so far, Lisa? All right? Okay. So Lisa's really my jury here, so she's going to confirm what you say. Zach, I would put you on the spot here, and I would just like you to share, how did you propose to her? Is that appropriate?
Sure.
All right, so how'd that happen?
Actually, I did it on my birthday to throw her off, so she wouldn't... think about it. So
took her
to Navy Pier. We had a fun day there. And then I proposed at Milton Olive Leaf? A park by Navy Pier there by the water. And I had a buddy there take pictures.
Amen. So Lisa, was that a shocker to you?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Very good. Thank you. See that? I mean, give this guy a hand. He did it, right? Still happy newlyweds, right? You know what's striking about that? Intentional, conscientious effort, preparation to propose. That's what you did. You didn't wake up that morning and say, hey, I think I'm going to go get married today, and Lisa happens to be with me. We're going to be at Navy Beer. Oh, it's my birthday. Fantastic. No. No. If it did, shame on him. He prepared. He was intentional about doing something because he knew what he wanted to get to at the end result, and that was to ask her to marry him. It wasn't haphazardly. He didn't wait at home for her to ask him. In our spiritual walks, right? In our spiritual walk, we have to be intentional. Scripture says in chapter 4, let us help us out here then. So then, putting away any falsehood, let all of us speak truth of our neighbors, for we are members of one another now. We got to take these things off. The old self has to go, and the new self has to come into play. Well, how do I do that? Practice. It takes practice. We have to read the Word of God, allow the Word of God to penetrate within us and to give us the opportunity to do what? To grow and mature. If we're not intentional about things in life, it will not happen. The miracle of salvation happened. But we got to take some responsibility and accountability for the maturity that takes place after that. Right? Paul is telling us here this morning, in all the Ephesians, he's telling them, listen, you got to get rid of that. If Aaron was up here this morning, and I said, Aaron, cold, and Aaron just said, if he just did this, if Aaron just said, I hear you, I know we're playing a little game of cold, warm, and hot, but I'm staying right here. What good is it? Oh, you know what? One day Aaron wakes up and God says to do this, and Aaron begins to walk around a little bit, and God begins to say, warm, warm, warm. Okay. I'm warm now. But as far as I want to go, I don't want to put forth the effort of looking for something I can't see or find. So I'm just going to hang out here where it's warm. I'm not like them, cold. I'm warm. Oh, years go by. Aaron wakes up one day and says, man, I'm just tired of sitting here. I think I will go try to find out what I'm supposed to be finding. And he gets over here and the Holy Spirit says, hot. You're getting hot, Aaron. You're getting hot. Oh, Aaron, you're getting scorching hot. You're white hot, Aaron. And he finds what he's looking for. Now, all of a sudden, Aaron's a little bit different. He might actually buy somebody a coffee when he tapes it together. Maybe. But Aaron was a lot further than when he was cold. If we are intentional about being a disciple of Jesus Christ, we will find ourselves over here so hot that the Holy Spirit would ooze out through us and lives would be changed for those that are around us. How powerful would that be? If you woke up one morning and went somewhere and somebody said, wow, there's something about that person. Be prepared in every season to give the reason for the joy that you have. Paul travels over into chapter 5 and 6, and man, he's already told us how to do it. We got to be intentional about it. We got to prepare ourselves, right? He goes in into the full armor of God. For those of you who have been around church for a while, you kind of understand what that is, right? Full armor of God. This translation, the NRSV that I'm reading here, if I can just back up here and just read that to you real quick here. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day and having done everything to stand firm. Stand therefore, fasten the belt of truth around your waist. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet. I love this version. As shoes for your feet. Put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. Put on whatever will help you to proclaim the gospel of peace. Oh, he continues on here. With all of these, take the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. We need that, amen? He's relentless. Sometimes we allow him to be. Because we don't pick up our faith and walk. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. The Holy Spirit is asking us now, through the reading of His Word, that we should equip ourselves. And listen, we're not like David. We don't have to go put on somebody else's armor that may be a little too big or a little too small for us. God is giving us directions that we can equip ourselves to be perfectly fit for what fits you and me. So I was going through this morning, and listen, I have learned in life, wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, do it as I am doing it for Him. And that's a hard lesson, folks. That's a lifelong lesson to learn. So I'm going to let you in my closet here this morning. Don't laugh. Don't chuckle. Don't give me a hard time afterwards. I'm just going to let you in a little bit here, all right? This is vulnerable for me. All right? Just kidding. So I went in there and I started pulling out some stuff here. And, you know, the scripture said, you know, wear your best shoes. I thought, okay, I'll pull out some shoes here. So these are my shoes when I love to go play and have a little fun. I don't get to do it very often. Hence why they look awful new. But I like to go do it. I'm not any good at it. But I like to go chase the ball around the... I really like the scenery. That's really what I'm looking for. So that's what I like to do when I do that. So yesterday we got a chance to go downtown Chicago. We took Abby down for her birthday, her 16th birthday, and just kind of gave her a treat to go down there. And so I put my little... These are super comfortable shoes. So I thought, man, we're going to be doing a lot of walking. That was my walking shoes. It's just kind of hanging out area, right? So I got a chance to do that, and that was fun. And these are my casual little, you know, flip-flop shoes, right? They're just kind of hanging around the house. Ain't got much to do, Pastor, and it's a little warm outside. Just kind of want to wear those a little bit. Man. Got to have your Crocs when you're outside mowing. Got to be comfortable, folks. And this is, so when I go outside and work and mow in the yard, I've got to wear these, so I got to have those here. Let's see what else I got in here. Oh, I don't do this very often either anymore, but these are running shoes. You're supposed to wear them when you go run. I do neither. So, but I got them anyway. And, you know, it's kind of one of those exercise equipment that you got hangers on too. So don't laugh at me. All right. So there's my exercise shoes there. I got to do that. Then I got shoes here just for casual walking around past you. I want to go, you know, I need to go to the store or something. I might wear those shoes. Let's see what else. Oh, district assembly shoes right here, Pastor. Got to look sharp at district assembly. Got to look sharp for DS, Pastor. Then I got some everyday work shoes that need a bath, okay? We got those. Let's see, you got that. And I got my old house shoes right here. So when I just want to be comfortable around the house, right? You'll never see me in those. You got it? Because you'll never be there when I'm comfortable. So I thought to myself, Lord, I got all these shoes. And the lady's just saying, geez, man, I got a lot of shoes. Because you got to have shoes for the things that I do. I got to have different shoes. I can't wear the nice shoes to go outside and mow the lawn in. That's a waste. Because then I go to wear them when I need to wear them, and they're going to look all green and gunky and yucky. You know, so you have to figure out in life, what shoes are you in? Remember, whatever shoe you're wearing, though, what scripture say? We got to proclaim the gospel of peace. And that is Jesus Christ crucified. Listen this morning, folks. I know you're looking at me and you're saying, Pastor, it's just not that easy. You don't know me. You don't know my past. I cannot focus on the future because I'm so distracted about the past. Listen this morning, folks. The word is this. Do not be intimidated by your past, but be an imitator of the one who can save you and deliver you from your past. That's the word this morning. The Holy Spirit is powerful enough to eliminate those things. You say, but you know what, Pastor? I've tried. Try again. Listen, if he didn't keep trying, he wasn't going to find what he's looking for. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak cold, warm, and so hot that you can't touch it. Allow the Holy Spirit to do something within you to change who you are. Change. If what you're doing now is not working, change it, please. Change it. Listen, I've tried. I read a couple of journals that I wrote, Pastor, about 6 years ago, 7 years ago in 2009. And God had to change me. And I read them and I just almost started crying. I thought, wow, God had to change me. But I had to let him change me. If I'm not prepared to take off the old so I can be clothed with the new, then what can he do? He will do nothing more than we allow him to. Let him allow you to reach that point that's so hot that, you know what? I'm not so worried about living over here in cold. How about if I focused more about how hot I can live that I don't worry about, do I make it or not make it? Listen, if I did that with my wife, Darren, I think she would leave me. If I didn't, listen, folks, this is real. If I stood over here all the time and I just said, you know what, it's about me, sorry. You know, you need to take care of me. I can't do that, though. We have to be in unity as one. And I have to come over here and say, how hot do I need to be over here? Right? In our spiritual walk, folks, it's a relationship. We've got to understand the concept of a relationship, and that concept is that we have to give. Paul is describing through us in the whole book of Ephesians, he's laying out the groundwork for you and I here this morning. How can we put on the full armor? Listen, we got to get up and put it on. It's not going to happen by accident. It's not going to happen by osmosis. It's got to happen because we are intentional. Zach wanted to marry Lisa. He was intentional how to do it. If he haphazardly did it, maybe she says no. If that's how you're going to do it, I ain't marrying you. Make me buy dinner and everything. But you do it in a way, right? He thought about it. He did it in a way that he knew his percentages were very high, folks. He was going to get a yes. As we leave here this morning, I want the Holy Spirit to be speaking to you. He's been here from the beginning. He's been speaking. Allow him to continue to do the work within you that he has already begun. And oh, by the way, listen this morning, if you haven't ever received him as your Savior, I've said this, I'll say it many, many times. I've tried both sides. I like this now. Before and after, it's a big difference. It's change. But change for eternity, that'll be well worth it as we enter in the kingdom of God when our time on earth is done. Because it will be. Let us be that ready. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, this morning, I'm going to close in prayer. And as we do, I'm going to ask the band to come up here. And we're going to sing that song, Just Say Amen. Now listen, if you are at a point in your life when you say to yourself, you know what, I'm really struggling with what he's talking about, because what I'm talking about is what the Spirit gave me to talk about. So you ain't arguing with me, you're arguing with him. If what you're struggling inside is what we talked about here today, please, we will be here. We want to pray with you. We want to pray for you. We'd ask you to come. Not to embarrass you, but we want to help you. Listen, reach people to equip people to reach people is not something that is damaging to people, right? We want to help people. And this morning, if you have been a believer for a long time, you're like, hey, you know what? I kind of got in that warm state. I need to get hot. What does that look like for me? We want to pray with you. Pastor Steve will be here. We want to pray with you and help you, give you guidance in the through the Holy Spirit. We're nobody special, folks. We've just been called to do something that we're doing. But we want to see you become more of who he wants you to be. So as we sing this song this morning, I would like to simply ask that you come down during that, Pastor. And we're talking about saying amen. We want to say amen with you this morning. So why don't we stand up here this morning and let us pray. Father in heaven, you are mighty, you are powerful, you are the strong, you are our strength, Lord, this morning. We ask you this morning, Lord, to give us that which we need to step out by faith, Lord, to quench those arrows that Satan shoots at us, Lord. We want to be what you want us to become. And Lord, this morning, you're speaking. And for those that are here this morning that have not raised their hand and committed themselves to you, Lord, I pray that they would receive you this morning. I pray that the Holy Spirit would continue to speak to them, empower them, Lord, to be able to have that which they need, and that is salvation, Lord. For there is victory in Jesus here this morning. Today is the day of salvation, Lord. And Jesus, we just pray for those that are here this morning that have found themselves looking up, Lord, realizing that they're in a cold or warm state of spiritual growth and that they need to move over, Lord, I pray that you would speak to them today. And as we continue to close in our service, Lord, may you receive the power and the glory in the lives that are changed and transformed to build your kingdom here, today, and now for eternity, Lord. We give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.